homes. God rest you, merry gentlemen.
Well, we've heard some good preaching. We've been reminded of some good truths. We've heard some good singing. I hope you've worshiped in your soul and in your spirit the one true and living God. I was thinking, as you take your Bible and turn to John chapter 8, I'm not going to preach a message. I'm just going to, as far as I know, just give you a few truths. I want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get ahead of Him. I don't want to get behind Him either. I just want to walk with the Lord. God has been so good to me. And I think as I look across this building, I really think that most of us could say, yes, God has been so good to me too, preacher. God is a good God, and He's blessed me beyond measure, far beyond what I deserve. He's just good that way. He shows us favor. And we're just so grateful for the goodness of the Lord. I'm thankful that His mercy endureth forever. What a wonderful God. He's worthy of all of our praise. How could we ever thank Him for all that He's done? The goodness of the Lord. The mercy of God. The good grace of God that sought us out. It's something, isn't it? It truly is. In just a few days, we'll gather with family and friends and we'll celebrate what made it all possible. God sent His Son to this old sin-cursed world to pay a debt He did not owe, a debt that we could not pay. But in the mind of God in eternity past, God had it all worked out in that providence that we heard about. He sure did. And I'm thankful that He manifested Himself to me. I wonder if God's ever manifested Himself to you. Has God shown Himself to you? Can you think of a time in your life when you were just strolling along in life and God interrupted your life to introduce Himself to you? He manifested Himself to you. He became that disruption in your life that at first you found very painful, and maybe you tried to avoid, if not even resist it. And yet God is persistent, because God knows what's best for us, even when we think we know what's best for ourselves. Isn't God that way? There's probably not anyone sitting in here, if you've truly been born again, if you're saved in the grace of God, that God didn't have to come to you a second and a third and fourth time. We're stubborn that way. We are. But see, God is good that way, to where He just keeps coming back. Now, there's no guarantee that God will continue to do so. It's all based upon His grace and His favor toward us. You see, God didn't save me because of my goodness. God saved me because of His goodness. And the day that we truly realize that, well, it just kind of changes our perspective on how we view God. It makes us very thankful. And I just want to say, before heaven and this congregation tonight, I sure am thankful that God saved me. He became a light. John chapter 8, if you just turn there, I want to share a word with you, and then we'll have our candle with the challenge with our candlelight service. We'll close our service this evening with that. For those of you who think, you know, we might ought to give the church a little extra offering so they could replace some of these bulbs. These lights are out on purpose. But now, if you still want to put the offering, we have plates at the door, you know, and we'll buy some reserve bulbs for the future. But we tried to just maybe cool the room a little bit so that we could get the full effect of what I hope would dawn on our soul, that God has truly called us to be the light of the world. Now, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. I want you to notice in John chapter 8, in verse number 12, I'm not going to, as I said, get into this as a message, but I do want to point out a few things here. There's this woman that's been taken in the very act of adultery. And you know, these Pharisees, they brought her to Jesus, and they said, you know, we've caught this woman in the very act. you know, Moses in his law said, you know, and what do you say? And you know what happened here, okay? But then Jesus made this statement in verse number 12. Then, after Jesus told her, you know, he asked her, he said, woman, you know, where art thou? Thine accusers hath no man condemned thee. That's in verse number 10. Verse number 11 says, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a statement. Most of us kind of, you know, we hone in on that neither do I condemn thee part, and I'm thankful for that. But we might ought to rethink that go and sin no more part. Amen. You say, well, what did Jesus mean, preacher? He meant what he said. Amen. That's exactly what he meant. See, God's standard's higher than your standard. His standard's higher than my standard. God has a standard for his people. God tells us to be holy because he's holy. Now here I want to show you that God says, I want you to be a light because I'm a light. He said, I want you to be like me. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 12, he said, I'm the light of the world. As we shall see before the service is through, he said, I want you to be a light. I want you to be like me. See, God's always after that, brethren. See, God searched out man. God said, now I want you to search him out too. I want you to be like me. Amen. That's right. You see, you'll never be more pleasing to God than when you're being like him. And the only way you're going to do that is to walk by faith. You'll never do it in your own energy. You'll never do it in what you possess within yourself. The only way we're ever going to be like God is by faith and by being obedient by faith to his commandment. That's the only way. He said in verse number 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Aren't you glad for that? You see, there is an inference there that if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to be walking in darkness. It's a terrible thing to do. Now, some of us are a little older. You'll be able to relate to this. So, you know, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and you have an urge to, well, get up. And it's dark. And the light switch is on the other side of the room. You think, well, I'm going to make it. And then you take about 3 steps, and you hear this thump. And you feel the sharp pain where you've hit your foot on the edge of a dresser or some type of piece of furnishing there, and you're thinking, I don't use that kind of language anymore. Yeah. You see, life can be that way if you're not careful. You'll be trying to find your way through life. You'll be trying to feel your way through life. And you'll bump into a lot of things that God never intended you to bump into, and you'll encounter a lot of pain that God never intended you on encountering. And so while I may not get a little aggressive and pound the pulpit tonight, I don't know. I do want to give you some wisdom now. You need to follow Jesus. He's the light, and he'll light your path. He'll open things up so that you can see your way. And he gives a promise right here. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay? God will show you the way. God will guide your path. That's right. God will show you where he needs you to go and what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. God will show you if you'll allow him to. Now I want us to turn to John 1, and then we're going to call for the ushers and we'll get our candles. And I want to give you a challenge. There's 3 things in John chapter 1 that you need to remember, okay? Number 1, we have light received, okay? Or revealed, I should say. Light revealed. God reveals himself. Jesus reveals himself as light. Look, if you would, in verse number 4 of John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. God revealed light. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 of John chapter 1 says, that was the true light. Speaking of Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God has revealed himself to every person that cometh into the world. Whether it be through creation, whether it be through revelation, God has revealed himself to every person that cometh into the world. That's what the book says, brethren. So I'm glad that God revealed himself. Aren't you? God didn't leave us in darkness. We could have been stumbling around, just walking in circles in darkness, but I'm glad that God didn't leave us in that darkness. No, God sent the light. There was an old country singer years ago. He sang, "I saw the light." Well, I'm glad I saw the light. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. You say, "Preacher, you listen to country music?" No, but I don't know that you could be alive and not know that song. I saw the light. I saw this light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So there's light revealed. But you know what happened? The same thing that happened when God revealed himself to me, did it with you. It happens, brethren. See, men hate light. People hate light. Why? Because it reproves their deeds, and their deeds are evil. And so we have light not just revealed, but in this chapter we have light resisted. Look in verse number 10. He was in the world, John 1, verse 10. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Look at this, verse number 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. They resisted the light. So we have light revealed. He was that true light that lighteth every man. I'm glad that he reveals himself. He manifests himself. But you know, God gave us a free moral will to where we could, of our own volition, choose. And the Bible says here that when he came, men said, "No, we don't want that." No, you know. He came into his own, and his own said, "No, they received him not." They resisted the light. I sure pray to God there's no one here that is resisting the light. I can recall a day in my life when I did. How foolish. Romans 1 covers it in detail. It does. How men resist the light, professing themselves to be wise. They became as fools. You see, God wanting to light the way and show them the path and show them how they could have their sin forgiven. And they said, "No, no, we don't want that. We don't want our deeds reproved. We don't want light. We want darkness because we love evil." You see. And that's what fallen, sinful man is. So we have light revealed. I'm glad that God revealed light. But now there's just something in this old sinful nature, brethren, I'm telling you, that resists the light. Resist it. But I'm thankful for those that receive it. Have you received the light? See, God revealed the light. Man resisted the light, but I'm thankful that, look at verse number 12. What a wonderful verse. I want you to look at that first word there, but. What a wonderful three-letter word. Amen. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but. Amen. You know, someone has said that this little three-letter word is a small hinge where the door of many wonderful truths and even destinations swing. Aren't you glad that God didn't give up when you received him not?
Amen.
Amen. God revealed his light and you see, resisted the light, but as many as received him. Aren't you glad that one day you received the light?
Amen.
Isn't that what verse 12 says? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That person that may be joining by live stream or maybe in our building tonight that you've never been saved, I hope you'll mark this down in your Bible and tell you how to get saved out of verse number 12. There's three words that I want you to highlight. Received. You see that word? But as many as received. Highlight that word. To them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's three words. Received. Become, believe. Let's look at those three words. Number one, you must believe. That's where it starts. That's faith. You must believe. You must believe. Believe what, preacher? Believe that God sent his son into this old sin-cursed world to die in your place. He took your place. You should have been on that cross. I should have been on that cross. But I'm glad that Jesus, because he loved us so much, died in our place, died for our sin. Believe. And then receive. You see, you can't just believe, well, I believe that Jesus died. No, it's got to go a step further than that. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. Got to go further than that. Well, I believe Jesus is the Savior. A little further. I believe He's my Savior. Now you're ready. Believe. Received. Then what? Become. Listen, that's three spiritual laws right there that must happen before you'll ever get to heaven. I pray to God everyone in here has acted on that those action words. Believe. Do you believe? Do you? A lot of times we ask little children around this time of year, do you believe? We're not talking about that now. We're talking about something far more important than that. Have you exercised the gift of faith in believing that God sent His Son to die for you? Have you received Him into your life on the principle of His finished work at the cross and an empty tomb? If you have, the Bible, look at it again, says that He has the power to give you to become the sons of God. Become the sons of God. Light. Are you a light? You say, well, I've received the light. Then you ought to be a light. I'm going to ask our ushers to come. And while they come, you take your candle, and I'm going to read some scripture to you out of Matthew. While the ushers come, I'm going to ask them to, Brother Dan, if you'll get our lights for us, or someone get our lights for us. In Matthew chapter 5, there's a passage of scripture about light. And I find it very interesting. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Now remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But here in Matthew chapter 5, He says this. He said in verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. Well, I thought Jesus was. Well, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But He said, now you're the light of the world. My question to you tonight is, are you? Are you the light of the world? Of the world? Well, he narrows it down. You see, at Fellowship Baptist Church, we believe that we are the light of the world. You see these flags around the building? They're not just there for decoration. God has laid on us a burden. God has laid on us a commission, a commandment to take the gospel of the glorious light of Jesus Christ around the world. We are the light of the world, brethren. See, we don't just stop in the county in which we live. That's not where God wants the light to stop, through Fellowship Baptist Church. We're the light of the world. Amen. Then He said, a city set on a hill. So we're not only the light of the world. He said, you know, as a city, you ought to have a light in your city. Are you a light in your city? You live in Madison. Are you a light in Madison? Madison needs some light. Rutgersville needs some light. Culpeper, Rappahannock, Orange County, and surrounding areas need some light. Are you a light? It's getting dark in our cities. Listen to what Jesus said now. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Not if it's lit up. Not if it's set on a hill. So he gave us a city. And I want you to think about that. But then he changed a little bit and he said this in verse number 15. He said, neither do men light a candle. That's what we're getting ready to do right now. We're getting ready to light a candle. But he said, you know, men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the city. That's not what it says. It said all that are in the house. So he said, you know what? The world. You ought to be a light to the world. But then he said, the city. And then he said, your house. Right? The city's outside. The house is inside. The house of God and the house in which you live, you ought to be a light there. Your family ought to look at you and see Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Your church family ought to look at you and see Jesus. Amen. The house. your neighbors, your employers, your fellow employees, the people that, where you shop, they ought to look at us and see a light. See, that's the city. Right? Are you a light? When people look at you, do they see Jesus? I pray that they do. I really do. I pray that when people look at me, they see a changed man. Amen. They see a different man. Yes, sir. Brother, go ahead and light your candle. I've talked to Brother Greg. And Brother Greg says, Preacher, I want to be a light. Then light your candle. Can I tell you that I want to be a light? So I'm going to light my candle. See, God's watching. I'm not going to light my candle out of pressure. I'm just not. I'm not going to light my candle because it's a Christmas candlelight service. I'm going to light my candle as a representative that the light of the world lives inside of me, and I want to be a light for Him. I want to be like Him. I want to shine in a dark world. Amen. And so I'm going to light my candle.
Amen.
Who else wants to be a light? Brother Dan, would you like to be a light?
I would love to light my candle.
Amen. You want to be a light, Brother Cliff?